In your Bibles this afternoon to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. I want to read verses 1 through 4 today. Children, obey parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Message today is going to be to children. How many children do we have here today? And everybody's hand ought to go up with that, right? Because we're all children. So this is applicable to us today, to each one of us. Turn with me just back one chapter to the 5th chapter. And the first verse, be therefore followers of God, imitators of God, as dear children, as his children. If you are saved, if you are born again, you are a child of God, and you are to imitate your Heavenly Father. Just as when you were a child, you used to imitate dad or mom. But as we are imitators of God, that is obedience. That is in obedience to His Word. Can we be an imitator of God? Can we be an imitator of that which is holy, just, and righteous? If we do not His Word? If we do not His commandments? So, you see that walk that he's talking about, be as imitators, as dear children, he's talking about one in obedience. So then we went through the 5th chapter. And the 5th chapter, towards the end of it, laid down some guidelines for husbands and wives. We would say for the family setting. This setting we continue in the 6th chapter, beginning with verse 1, is continuing a family setting, continuing a thought of, shall we say, harmony in the home. Going back to verse 21 of the 5th chapter, talk about and submit to one another in the fear of the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands as he is the head of your house as Christ is head of the church. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. All is submission. And now it deals with children. Children is obedient. Children being in submission to their parents. Harmony in the home. Harmony, the meaning of it is an orderly arrangement. It is an orderly arrangement of that we think of in hymns and songs, songs that we sing as we just got finished with our song service. It's an arrangement, orderly arrangement of parts, of sounds, to produce sounds that are pleasing to the ear. To produce sounds that are pleasing to the ear. So, we're talking about, when we talk about harmony in the home, we're talking about producing that which is pleasing to the ear. Well, yeah, to the ear, to the sight, but to God. Pleasing to God. Yeah, look way back at the fifth chapter, and so he said in verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another, each to the other, in the fear of God, in the fear of the Lord, because of the fear of the Lord, because you're in Him, and because you're seeking to do what is pleasing to Him. You want to please God? To one another. Turn with me to the book of Colossians. The book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians 3, and let's begin reading with verse 17. Talking about harmony in the home right now on this point. And whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, let's just pause a moment our reading. Back in the book of Ephesians, where our text is, who was he speaking to? He was speaking to the saints at Ephesus. He was speaking to the church at Ephesus. Who is he speaking to here in the book of Colossians? He's speaking to saints. He's speaking to the saints at Colossus. He's speaking to the church at Colossus. So, he says, and whatsoever ye do as a saint, as a child of God, whether it be word or action, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord, as it is suitable in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. So, we're concerned about doing that which is pleasing, well-pleasing, to the Lord. To the Lord Jesus Christ. And to our Heavenly Father. What we have here in this sixth chapter is a continuation of what was just said previously in the fifth chapter. It's one letter. These chapter divisions, and you've heard me say it before, these chapter divisions and verse divisions didn't exist. It was as you sat down to write a letter. And it's only maybe separated by sentences and paragraphs and so forth. So it is a continuation of what he has previously said. It is one letter to whom? I think we've already established that. It's one letter to the saints, to the Ephesian saints. It's a letter written to us today. It was kept by God for our reading, for our instruction, for our learning today. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives, submit to your husbands as the church is submitting to Christ. And so husbands and wives are supposed to have the same relationship that Christ and his church have. And the relationship between the husband and wife is to picture that relationship that exists between Christ and his church. It is a, shall we say, self-evident truth that for there to be disorderly children, get this, for there to be disorderly children, there must have been disorderly parents. That is, for children to be walking out of order as they ought to walk, then that's an indication that they have parents who are out of order, not walking in order. An example, if Adam had not first rebelled against God, Cain could not have slain Abel. And another example. If David had not first destroyed the home in the matter of Uriah, then Absalom could not have rebelled and tried to take his father's kingdom. Our goal and what the instructions that we have in this letter to the Ephesians is for an orderly home. An orderly home that exists under God. Husbands loving their wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Wives submitting to their husbands as the church submits to Christ. And the children, because mom and dad are walking in obedience to God's command and in obedience to God's word, children are obeying their parents and being taught to obey their parents, which in turn is teaching, when we teach our children to obey, when we as children obey, We're teaching our children to, when they grow up, to obey God and to walk in His ways. I hope all that will become clear as we go on in this study. The home will remain orderly if the parents will assume their God-given service to each other, to the Lord. Obey the Lord. Do that which is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And you'll just automatically do what your responsibility is, whether you be a husband or whether you be the wife. You do what God expects you to do. Our goal in the home and whoever we are, in the home, in the church, everywhere, our goal ought to be in all things to be well pleasing unto the Lord. Some of that said, in verses 1 to 3, we have instruction, admonitions given to children. Children, of which we all are. The word children there denotes offspring. Whether it be male or whether it be female, if you're a child, you're a pupil of a disciple, or if you're children of God, as we read in chapter 5 and verse 1, you're to obey your parents. See, all those examples I give you are examples of children. Paul called the Corinthian church his children. He said he was a father unto them. He was their father in the faith. In other words, he was the one the Lord used to preach the gospel to them, and under the preaching of the gospel to them, they were saved. And they thus became the children of Paul. He became their father. Obey your parents. Obey means to hearken. Hearken to a command. To attend to what is uttered, what is taught, what is instructed, and to do it with eagerness. Going back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. This is a command. It is a command given by God to children to obedience. Turn with me to the book of Leviticus. The book of Leviticus. And chapter 19. And verse 3. And we may read this verse again when we get down to verse 2 of our text. But it said, ye shall fear, in verse 3 of chapter 19 of Leviticus, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, This is a fear where, yes, you tremble at, but as a fear of reverence also, where you reverence your father and your mother. And then he went on to say, keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. But ye shall fear every man. Every child. His father and his mother. You shall obey them. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs. In chapter 1. Proverbs is rich with instructions to children, which ultimately mirrors children of God as well. But in verse 8 of chapter 1 of Proverbs, it says, my son, my child, hear the instruction of thy father. Hear. Hearken. Hear and do. Hear and obey. Hear and do the instruction of thy father. And forsake not the law of thy mother. Hear. We're beholden to be obedient to both father and mother. Chapter 6. Chapter 6. And look with me at verse 20 in this chapter. My son, keep thy father's commandment. And forsake not the law of thy mother. There again. The commandment, the law. I mean, law is commandment. Be obedient. Be obedient, children, to your father and to your mother. Chapter 7, in verse 1. My son, keep my words. Obey my words. And furthermore, in obeying them, store them up in your heart so that you continue to obey them. And lay up my commandments with thee. Lay them up in store with you. Obey them. Lay them up in store so that you continue to obey them. Psalms 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might sin against thee, that I might continue to obey your word. That's why scripture memorization is so important. That's why we spend much of the Sunday school hour going over verses that we have attempted to memorize in the past, so that they might be stored up, they might be laid up. Turn with me now to chapter 23. Chapter 23 of Proverbs. And look with me here at verse 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Here we're given admonition to be obedient. To be obedient to both father and mother. And the indication is that if we're not, then we despise them. We despise them. And just because they've gotten old, don't think that it's time now to be loose from the instructions that they gave you all your life. And do now what you want to do. That's the implications of that verse there. We're to be, remember always the instructions, the commandments that our father and mother have taught us. So that when we're old, so that we are older, we won't depart from their ways, but we'll walk in the paths and the ways in which they try to instruct us in. Now going back to our text in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. It said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Verse 21 of chapter 5 said, submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. In the Lord. That little word in, preposition, is interesting, is it not? It indicates to us a fixed position. A fixed position, in whether it be in place, whether it be in time, in state. So our meaning is as representing the Lord who commanded it. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. He commanded it. Because He commanded it. Obey Him. Them. Because God has commanded. Because the Lord Jesus Christ has commanded it. Also, it's well-pleasing to Him. Because it's pleasing to the Lord. You see, Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, which we read earlier, talks about that which we do, we want to do all as pleasing the Lord, all that is suitable to the Lord, children included, parents. Yes, when a child is young and beginning to grow, they need to be taught. They need to be taught that they need to obey. Why? Because it's well-pleasing to the Lord that they obey you. Obedience does not come natural to children. They have to be taught to obey. Hope I can get this right. A professor, and I don't know what year this was for sure, I don't remember, from, and I, it's this, the college escapes me, no, it was one of the Ivy schools, something like Harvard or something of that nature, and addressing crime, and there were two different things that I read, and they both were saying the same thing, but this professor said that children who are taught to obey, the morals of obedience is what the way he called it. The morals of obedience in the home. And he put an age on it. Anyone want to guess? From 1 year of age to 6. You get that that principle, the morals of obedience instilled in your children between the age of 1 and 6 years old, you've got them taught obedience. I said, wow. What's that? And I've known that principle all my adult life. But what's that say about parenting today? I know people that they don't want to start any form of instruction along the disciplinary route before they're 3. And some not even that young. Some don't even make their children to obey. I would see things in my children and I'd say, you gotta nip this in the bud now. If you don't do it now, by the time they're 10 and 12 years of age, you have no hope. No hope of controlling them. That's basically what that professor said from Ivy School. And this was, I think this was in the 70s, if I'm remembering correct, that he made that statement concerning it. 50 years later, not very many people are hearing that. It's important that our children be taught obedience. They need to be taught obedience. My mom used to say, from the cradle. From the cradle. Now, in the cradle, it don't take much. Just a little stern word, and maybe a little tap on their diaper. They start learning to get the message. They're starting to be taught the morals of obedience. And particularly, that's parents who are reasonable, parents who are not unreasonable. We're not talking about parents that are instructing their children to go out here and rob this store so we can have something to eat. Or go out here and do this or go do that, which is wrong and is against the law of God, against the commands of God. It's to be done in the Lord. It's to be done because God commanded it. It's to be done because that is well-pleasing to Him. And it's to be done as is in keeping with His commands and His laws as well. For this is right. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. For this is righteous. It is just. That is obedience. Yes. Obedience is righteous. You're beginning to see the connection. And when we get into the next verse, we're going to go back to where this first principle came into play in the book of Exodus in chapter 20. But actually, it was in force long before God gave it as one of the 10 commandments from Mount Sinai. It was in the force long before that because turn with me to the 18th chapter of Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. I'm going to have to look for it. Yes, in the 18th chapter, and let's begin reading with verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. God said concerning Abraham, he knows that he will command him well and his house after him. Not just Isaac, who's going to be born to his house, but all the days of Abraham will he instruct even Isaac's seed. If he's alive. And then God said he knows that he will command. He will teach him the ways of the Lord. He will teach him obedience. He will teach them obedience to the Lord, which is the principle of the fifth commandment in the commandments in Exodus chapter 20, which we'll be getting into. He gives to us first, I'm the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. Don't take my name in vain. Honor the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. And he says, children, honor your father and your mother. That it may be well with thee upon the land. Why? Because they need to honor God. You let a child grow up to himself and to be whatever he wants to be and to do whatever he wants to do with no strings attached. He becomes godless. He'll not honor God in all his ways and doings. Obedience is that which is just and right, because that's what God expects of us as his children. He expects of us as his subjects obedience. Obedience is just and right before God. It's right also by the law of nature, as well as the law of God. The law of nature teaches you that children ought to be subject to their parents by virtue of age. The parent is the older. The parent has grown. The parent has learned some things. The parent knows more in the way of instructions. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 18. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. God is commanding obedience here, that it might be well with them. Psalms. Turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 19. And look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening eyes. Therefore, we ought to obey them. Therefore, we ought to do them. Because they're righteous, they're holy, they're just, they're good. Paul attested to that in the 7th chapter of the book of Romans, that the law was holy and just and good. And we ought to obey it. Turn with me to Psalms 119. Psalms 119. And look with me at verse 128. 128 of the 119th Psalm. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts. Notice that word esteem. I lift them up, I count them as valuable. I count them as that which is most valuable. All thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And I hate every false way. Do we hate every false way? Do we esteem, do we count all the precepts concerning all things of God to be that which is most valuable? That which I must do because they are right, because they're just, because they're pure, because they're good. Well, we'll quit there today.